life in the land of the ice and snow. My name is Heather, and I'm here today with my co-host, Kimberly. And we are back after summer.
We're drinking Big Red, so we're a little loopy.
Yeah, we found at my local grocery store near Sandsborg in Stockholm, they actually have Big Red, which is a Texas soda that is very hard to find in Sweden. So we have a little treat today.
Yeah, absolutely. It was the first. I walked in and I saw it on the aisle and I'm like, oh my God, Big Red. I'm like, I haven't seen this since ever in Sweden. I had to buy it.
It's such a fun treat, I think, for everybody from any country when you happen to find a product that you've never seen here before. It's like, even if you wouldn't have bought it at home, it's like, I have to buy it now.
I know. I would have never bought this at home. I mean, it was something I had when I was a kid, you know, and then I'm hopped up on sugar for like the rest of the day.
But, oh, yeah. It's worth it, though. You know, it's a homesick taste, a taste of home.
It just reminded me of the summers riding my bike down Houston, Texas streets.
That's right.
Okay, neighborhoods, but not streets.
Yeah, so that's what we're doing. How was your summer? What have you been doing in this Swedish summer?
Well, I spent most of the summer here in Stockholm. We did a little bit of some excursions here and there and explored, you know, some places that we hadn't gone before.
Okay.
So that's always nice. I like to stay here during the summer.
Well, it's the best time.
Yeah. Just so it's too hot in Texas.
Oh, I know. That was my mistake this summer and many summers.
Yeah.
But when you have kids, sometimes if you want to go for several weeks abroad, then you don't have a choice. You have to go in
the summer.
So, yeah.
No, but we kind of hung out around here. We did the whole, you know, Swedish lakes and the sea. We did a couple of little excursions to some castles that we hadn't gone to before and checked out some nice castle grounds. We went to a couple of little hidden gems. I'm not going to tell you about them until later on in another podcast.
These
are little teasers. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just kind of like, this is kind of what we did. So it was really fun. And I have two daughters. One is 22 and one is 14. And so they still vacation with us when they deem the locations suitable. And they're always like, is it a 4 or 5 star hotel? And I'm like, whose children are you?
Yeah. Are you paying for it?
Yeah. And I'm like, hello. And I told my husband, I'm like, we need to just throw them in a youth hostel or something.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
Let them fend for themselves.
They need to learn how it's going to be.
Yeah. Because it's just like, hello, we worked hard to get here. So, and they just don't appreciate it.
No. I think that's my idea, is that just in general, a lot of these kids in Sweden don't know how good they have it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They're a little spoiled, in my opinion.
Yeah. I agree with you. So, and you?
Me, I did go to Texas in the hottest time of the year. Well, actually, probably now is the hottest time, but in summer, to visit family. So we spent a few weeks doing that. And then I had a friend just out of the blue ask me if I wanted to go to Berlin for a week. And I said, why not?
Because you can do that.
Yeah. And in Berlin, it's usually fairly cheap flights. It doesn't take very long to get there from here. So it's kind of an easy one to go to. And it's so international. It's easy to get around. Mm-hmm. So I did Berlin. And then last week I did London. My husband and I did London for a long weekend, which is another place that from Stockholm, there are a lot of flights. It's usually fairly cheap. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter how many times you go to London. There's always new stuff to do. It's just so big.
Okay. And we need to clarify this because we're not, you know, living large, like superstars, you know, movie stars or anything like that. The thing is, it's like, I would, because some of my friends in Texas would be like, oh my God, you were in Paris. Oh, you were in London. Oh, you were in Berlin. I mean, okay, it's not like, but it's like, if you're in Houston and you're going to like Corpus Christi
or Dallas,
you're going to go to Dallas, or you say, oh, we're going to go to Shreveport or Florida. Mm-hmm. The flights are like 2 hours.
Exactly.
If that, you know.
And, you know, pretty low prices because you're not going that far. So I do the same. I try to tell my friends, you know, it's pretty much I'm paying the same as if you just flew from Houston to Dallas or something like that.
Something similar.
Yeah.
So it sounds luxurious.
Yeah.
But we just want you to know it really, really isn't.
No.
But it is.
Hey, I'm traveling that economy where I'm not even checking in a bag so I can save money. You know, you stuff everything into your carry-on and shove it under the seat. And that's how you get the good deals.
Yeah.
And thanks, Airbnb, for being cheap.
You can pay us for that. No.
Yeah, new sponsor. But then I did spend a little time in Sweden because we have a summer house that is only a little more than an hour north of Stockholm. And it's something that a lot of Swedes have. And when I first moved here, I thought, this is not for me. I'm not interested in a summer house. Who wants to just hang out in the country where it's quiet and work in the yard? But with age, now I actually enjoy that. And we spent a week. We brought our cats for the first time. We have indoor city cats. So it was quite an adventure for them to go out to the summer house. We kept them on these really long leashes because even though it's in the middle of nowhere, we don't want them to get lost. So they got to go outside and explore. It was super exciting because there's cows around and one of them could not handle that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Spent 2 days hiding behind the couch.
Oh, no. But I mean, I would keep them close by as well because they're always the little, you know, the foxes. And
oh, yeah. And there's definitely a,
there's
fox
a lot of
on the
like
property.
Swedish wildlife roaming around.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, you got to be a little bit careful. I've seen like these really vicious looking hedgehogs.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, things like that. So,
yeah.
But your cats, you say they're city cats. My cats are city cats. Your cats, at least they go outside of your apartment sometimes.
On the balcony. That's the big outdoors to them is the balcony. Okay. That's as far as they get.
Mine get as far as the hallway of my stairwell.
Then
they hear the elevator and then they run back in the apartment.
Yeah. Mine will try to go out the front door sometimes, but if that elevator starts up, they panic. You know, there could be dogs. They know that there's a dog that lives next door. And it's, I think in their heads, it's always that dog
that
coming
dog
up the elevator.
Like,
even though it's a really friendly dog, but still.
No, they're taking no chances.
No.
But as Heather mentioned, like a summer house. I think I was a little bit opposite. I mean, okay, it depends on the summer house. We kind of had these discussions about summer houses before.
I need a bathroom.
Yes. Mm-hmm. One of my first experiences with the summer house thing was that some friends, they actually had a place on Gotland is beautiful. It's gorgeous. I mean, if you get a chance to go, I completely recommend it. But these people, it was right on the water. Really, really nice. And I think it had been in the family for a few years or whatever. But there was no indoor plumbing.
Mm-hmm.
I said no indoor plumbing. You're right. No electricity. Mm-hmm. No electricity.
Wow.
And so I did not know this going there beforehand. Nobody explained this to me. And we went there and it was like, we were supposed to stay for like 2 or 3 nights. I did one night. I'm like, no, I can't. This is not.
Especially unprepared.
Yeah, unprepared. This is not for me. So we went there, you know, and it was because it's in the summer, you get all the light, you know, but when it gets.
Okay.
So they were like, well, we don't really need electricity because we have the light from the midnight sun. I'm like, okay, whatever. And then, you know, you're grilling everything outside. So that was one thing. And then I'm like, so what about the water and stuff? And then there was like a utdras, which is like an outhouse. I was just like, no, this is not happening.
No. That's just one
just
of those
like,
cultural
I'm
things.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And then so I managed to make it through the evening without having to do anything that I couldn't do like in the sea.
Yeah.
You might take that part out anyway. And anyway, and then so I was just like, oh man, I need to, you know, we're swimming and you feel all salty because it's like, it's the sea. And then they're like, I'm like, what do
Where
I
do? You shower?
Where do I shower? And they're like, the sea. And I'm like, okay, great. And so that's when I told my husband, I'm like, no, this is not going to happen another night. I'm like, we need to check into like a real hotel with a real toilet and a real shower.
But this is a very Swedish thing that they seem to love to go back to super simple and very nature. Like this seems to be charming for them. And something that my husband and I have noticed is it's not like this in other countries. Like you go to Italy, people don't have a summer house where they don't have a bathroom or electricity and stuff. They're like, what would the point of that be? You know, heck no, your summer house should be really nice.
Yeah. And, well, my reasoning or my whole thing is I think it's back with regards to their like Lutheran upbringing. They just want to torture themselves and then like be able to brag about it and say like, oh, I spent 2 weeks in my summer house with no running water and electricity. I'm such a good person.
Well, you know, they're all Viking descendants, so they have to be tough. And
I know. So now it's like before anyone invites me to their place, I'm like, so do you have electricity? Mm-hmm. Do you have running water? Mm-hmm. Do you have a real toilet? Mm-hmm. Okay, then.
I mean, I have, you know, most people don't have a toilet, but I have never run across somebody without electricity as well. That's pretty extreme.
It was like more than 15 years ago. So, but anyway, I mean, like now maybe they have electricity. Maybe they decided, maybe we could get electricity.
Yeah. I mean, who are you trying to prove something to?
Yeah, I don't know. But I never went back. So
maybe they got solar panels now or something.
Something. Yeah.
But I also heard, so now we just ended August, and you did a very Swedish August thing, which was to go to a crawfish festival.
Yes. In Sweden, one of the, I guess, signs of summer ending is the crayfish season, or which Swedes call a kraftskivor, which is just like a crayfish party. And mind you, these two Texas gals here, the crayfish is served very different.
Yes. Not my thing. I love it in Texas, and you can get as much as you want for, I don't know, it's been a while, but say $5, they give you a huge box, and you've got corn and potatoes and Cajun spices, and it's excellent.
Mm-hmm. And sausages,
and
a spicy
usually
sausage.
Someone hosts you and provides it all. And my dad used to throw these parties and provide everything. And in Sweden, you bring your own frozen crawfish if you go to somebody's house. Now, you went to an event, so that's different. You paid for it much more than $5 for a box. And
it's expensive.
Served with dill?
Yes, they boil it in dill, and then they freeze it or something, I don't know. And then they serve it to you cold. I have to say, when the first crayfish party I went to, I was just completely disgusted.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just, there was nothing there I could eat except for bread and the Västerbotten pie, which is like a cheese quiche.
Yeah.
That was pretty much it. And I can tell you from experience, that's really not enough because they're constantly filling your glass with like aquavit, which is like Swedish schnapps and singing songs. So it's just made for a disaster.
But very much like Midsummer with the schnapps and the special
the
songs.
Special songs and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But with everything, you get used to stuff over time.
Yeah.
So I, over time, got used to Swedish crayfish. I would say, hey, it's not my favorite way to serve crayfish. I still am, you know, a Southern girl from Louisiana, raised in Texas. So I prefer my crawdad spicy.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I can do the Swedish thing, so it's no problem. But we went to one this past weekend, and really nice. We sang all the songs, and we had our table decorated really nice.
Do they have pieces of paper to tell you, like, what the song lyrics are?
They actually had a little song list. And in some places, sometimes they'll do it, if it's an international crowd, which they did, where they would do some of the songs with English words that sound similar to the words in Swedish.
Okay.
So then the people that, I guess, you don't speak Swedish or read it, you could read the English words and then it kind of sounds like you're saying the same thing.
Okay, so phonetically it's
so kind of like Helen Gord. You can look at that one,
right?
Look that one up. I'm not gonna do
most popular one, so
but I would just say a good evening was had by all, and lots of crayfish and aquavit was consumed. And this is one of the times where, besides Midsummer, where Swedes are so happy and so friendly and just the kindest people in the world.
Oh, yeah. Get some drinks into them and
you make a lot of friends. Party animals. They're like on the dance floor, getting their groove thing on and everything. And it's like, all ages, like 70, 80 year olds. They were cutting the rug.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
And I assume you had good weather for it too.
It was absolutely gorgeous weather. It was so nice. Unbelievable. I mean, this was right in the middle of town, just off of Strandvägen, just on New Gordon. And so you have the beautiful, the water sparkling there, where we could have a view. We had a view of the water and that runs through town. And then I'm fortunate enough to live in the city. So we walked home along Strandvägen,
so and it was nice, just like
beautiful to see the evening, the moon glistening in the water and everything. Yeah. And it was just like, oh my God, these are the days where you're just like, oh, Sweden is so beautiful. Oh my God, I love it so much.
Yeah.
And you're like, these little gems you kind of have to hold on to.
You do, like, to get, you know, get through. Yeah.
But we were like, of course, all the Swedes there, that's all, when the weather is gorgeous, they're like, oh, det är så jättefint väder. Oh, det är så...
Oh, it's all they want to talk about.
Oh, jättebra väder. Like, they're just saying, oh, this is so great. It's so much fun. We have such fine weather. And it's like September.
I mean, when you live in a place that has the worst weather, like 7 to 8 months of the year, you really appreciate every little bit of good weather you can get. I think we talked before, like in the summer, when the weather is nice, you feel like you must go outside every day because you are wasting it.
Yeah,
if
absolutely.
You don't go outside.
Like right now, we're going to finish this up real quick because it's a beautiful sunny day and it's the beginning of September and we don't know how many more we're going to have.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have to take advantage of as much as you can.
I feel like I'm doing a lot of talking, so I'm going to continue talking.
Good.
Another thing that ends the summer is kids starting back to school.
That's right.
And I still have a little youngin. She's 14 and she's starting ninth grade. And in Sweden, ninth grade's a big deal.
Yes.
So this is kind of when you decide, what are you going to do? Like, basically, they can decide now what direction they want to go in towards high school, like what they're interested in. If they're interested in like political science or social sciences or languages.
Or art
or engineering, economics,
music,
different things like that. So then, because in Sweden, there are like different schools that cater to the different programs. And so maybe you're at a school that is more in line with like art and languages, which is the school my daughter is right now, Franska Skolan. So it's more in line with like art and science, that sort of stuff. And I think she's very musically inclined. Mm-hmm. She sings in a very prestigious Swedish choir that has been invited to sing in several European countries. She sang in front of the king and queen, in front of Victoria. Yes, I'm bragging. I won't say her name because then she will be super embarrassed. Because she doesn't like me talking about how well she can sing. But I said, I'm your mother and I'm going to brag.
She should be proud.
That's what parents do. So anyway, she's looking at something maybe more in like the arts. So we'll see what happens. But back to the ninth grade.
But I should say before you go too far that it's still very similar. The time that you go to school before you really graduate, it's still basically 12th grade, just like it is in the U.S. But it's after ninth that you can go in for the last 3 years in a specialty school.
Yeah,
so that's why the ninth is such a big deal.
That's why the ninth is a big deal. Because it's more of a narrow focus.
Right.
So it's like, if that's what you're interested in. So and not like just taking random, generic courses and then having to start all over in college. Like, okay, what is it that I want to do? Whereas like here, their high school years are kind of giving them a little like taste of what it could possibly be in that career if they choose it.
Right.
Going on to like college. But they still have, of course, you change your mind all the time. So, I mean, who knows what's going to happen?
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
So, yeah.
So a lot of schools, I think all the schools basically end at grade 9.
A lot
and
do.
Then you move to the next one to go
but
up to
this,
12.
The particular school, Franska, I mean, some schools do go all the way up to 12th grade.
Oh, okay.
So you can stay there and go all the way up.
That's nice.
You graduate.
Okay.
But some kids stay and some choose to go to other schools.
Yeah.
So this is the choice she's having to make. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, all over Sweden, the ninth graders are having what is called their ninth grade prom. Yeah. And it's a big deal because, again, like I said, if they choose to go to a different school, this is the last year they're kind of with these kids that they've been with since kindergarten or whatever. So it's kind of like a senior prom, but they're not seniors.
Right.
So, so it's a huge deal. And I'm a class parent, so I'm on the planning committee. So, because I did this Well, I did it with my older daughter. And so my younger daughter was like, Mommy, you have to do it for me too. Yeah. And so then we're in charge of like raising money to make it to where basically everyone in the class gets to go for free. So we try to raise, we have all this year to raise money for their ball that will be in the,
so
like,
what, What kind of things do you do to raise money?
Well, one of the things is like we'll do like different on Fridays. We can sell little cookies and snacks and that sort of stuff in the school stair, you know, like the school entrance.
Uh-huh.
So kids like on their way home on Fridays can like grab a bag of candy or some baked goods or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and get all sugared up before they head home for the weekend. So we're going to do stuff like that. And then like after like parents meetings, you can also have coffee and like little fika bread where they can buy that during parents meetings. And things,
right,
and so
yeah,
we get money from that. But then there's the school also has a spring carnival and a winter carnival, and then during those times the ninth graders usually have two of the biggest money making things. And one of the first ones will be in October when we have the winter kind of fall carnival.
Uh-huh.
The ninth graders are in charge of the haunted house.
Oh
yes. And so when my older daughter did it, I was in charge of putting together the haunted house. And if I must brag, which I do, we raised the most money ever.
Well, they were the lucky to have an American helping out with that.
So it's still talked about to this day.
All right.
Even though it was like 6 years ago or something like that, because some kids were like coming out crying. It was so sad.
Then you know you
and
did
then they
good.
Went back in. I was just like, oh my God. And I was like, oh, that's so scary. Ah, I'm going to go back in.
So how does it work here with the, I mean, my kids have been through it, but I had boys and mm-hmm. you have girls who are probably way more excited because mm-hmm. my boys, when it got to time for the end of year, ninth grade, big party, they would pretty much tell me the day before, oh, I think I'm supposed to wear something nice. And yeah, then they'd have to borrow a suit from my husband or something. So I didn't really get the big build up in things, and I wasn't on the parent committee, so I'm not so in tune with what everybody does.
Well, as with girls, it is quite emotional. So I mean, there was a lot of like finding the right dress, what the hair is gonna look like, what shoes to wear, what accessories, which girls are you going to hang out with, and like what the group of girls that you're going to be with, because nobody was going as a couple. It was like group of girls would go and a group of boys would go, and they're all, everybody's friends. Nobody's dating anybody.
Yeah. And it's usually like a sit down dinner at first, right? And then maybe some music and dancing. But do they do speeches or things like that?
No. Well, I think, I don't know. I think each one could be different, but I would just go by the one that I went to with my older daughter. Was kind of like they came in, and of course they had like little mock cocktails, and we had ended up having parents send photos of their kids when they were small, and so
it was really cute.
So a lot of these kids, for example, my daughter, some of these kids she had known since preschool, so we had photos of her with some of them at 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. And because, you know, I'm crazy and I threw lots of parties, I had pictures of them in my house from Valentine's and Easter egg hunts and different things like that. So we gave those pictures. And so the kids were surprised because there was like a little video montage of them from ages like 3 or 4 till the
That's
age
so
they are
nice.
Now.
Yeah.
And in different activities and things like that. And the people that gave speeches, a few teachers gave speeches about the classes and the students. And I think the students probably, I think they voted on some of the kids like the most helpful and different things like that.
Right. That's actually something I am aware of. So it's a tradition, I think, near the end of ninth grade that every kid in the class is voted class whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they just come up with whatever it is. I mean, it could be class clown or class, but they come up with, you know, class singer or class baker or whatever, if somebody brought some brownies one time or something, or they come up and they wear them on a string around their neck with a paper plate.
Yeah.
And it usually says whatever they were named. And then on the back, they write a nice write-up. Usually, I think the teacher helps with that to make sure they're all very nice. And they'll do a little rhyme or a write-up. And it's a nice little keepsake for the kids to have.
For that grade.
If you come here around May or June and you notice a lot of kids wearing paper plates around their necks.
That's why.
They're in ninth grade.
But it's like Sweden, you know, everybody gets a prize. So that's nice. You know, so it's not like three people are highlighted at an event, everyone, you know, feels part of it. And so it was like a 3-course meal, sit down. So it's like a little fancy thing for them. Yeah. The boys had on suits. The girls wore long dresses, and there were parents there chaperoning it, making sure, you know, there was no alcohol or smoking or drug. And this place was like an old kind of, I want to say, herdegård in the middle of town on Söder. Uh-huh. So it was kind of like a little mansion, mini mansion. Yeah. And it had a little courtyard. So in the afterwards, we went down into the courtyard, and the kids kind of jumped around and, you know, mingled with each other. And they had served coffee and tea for kids that drink that.
Yeah.
And there was water. And then basically the night went on, and then they could take, the kids took pictures of each other and were like doing their own little thing. And then they were brought back in, and then there was a disco. And so then they were able to just kind of dance to music that they had, you know, chosen with the DJ and everything, and hung out and took photos. And it was a nice night.
Yeah.
So.
And then I don't know if it's the same, but for my kids, they also had a class trip in the ninth grade. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of ninth graders do that. They also collect money for a class trip. Some of them go actually out of the country. Mm-hmm. And then some of them, like my oldest, they went to just a little island right outside of Stockholm overnight, of course, with parent chaperones. And I'm trying to remember. Oh, and the other one went up to Ora, which is a famous ski resort area. And they did a bunch of things there for a couple of days. So that's also a big deal with the ninth grade trip.
I think, I'm not sure, I could be wrong, but I think they usually go somewhere like where they can practice speaking French. So somewhere like
in the
French
Alps
yours are or something like that. Yeah.
Yours are at the French school, so that would make sense. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's kind of it. So basically, yes, I think my first planning meeting is in the next week or so. So first, me and the other parents on the committee, other class parents,
to
start
going.
So
how do you feel about Swedish class parent meetings? I mean, I guess we haven't had the example of the States, but
I dare not speak on it right now.
I'll want to anger the other parents.
Yeah, I will address it when I'm no longer a class parent, because I can tell you that it is different.
I think after a while, I mainly just sent my husband because I couldn't take it anymore. But maybe that's universal. There's usually always one person who keeps making the meeting longer and longer.
See,
and you usually do this after work. So everybody's hungry. They need to get home and eat. But somebody has to keep asking questions that you could just look up on the school website or something. Mm-hmm. And you just want to yell or just take the teacher aside. The rest of us want to leave. We've got it. You gave us our handouts. Let's go.
Well, then you want me on your class parent committee, because I will be like, okay, I think we've gone over that now 2 or 3 times. If you don't get it, you can just refer to the notes. Let's move on.
Yes. That's how it should be.
Yeah. And it's like, we all have stuff to do. And one of these, like, even there, we ended up getting all the volunteers to be the class parent, I will say this, or all women, even though there were like half as many men there, dads there, as there were moms. And one dad had the audacity to say, like, oh, we have 4 kids here. And I was like, okay, I thought to myself in my head, I have a cat. I have 2 cats. I'm like, are we just saying stuff? I mean,
yeah,
because it's like, we have 2 kids. It's like, whatever, dude. But yeah, the teacher was I'm like, okay, she was no nonsense, where she kind of said, we all have. She's like, there are so many people that have children here, I'm sure.
Of course.
Know, we're all juggling different things.
Yes, people have jobs, pets, kids. Yeah, everyone's in some sort of boat.
But he's just like, oh, I can't. I'm like, please, dude.
I remember there was a difference between our 2 kids, where one of them, the parents were extremely active in everything. And then for another one, hardly anybody would volunteer for anything. So it was quite a difference to see. It's just random who ends up in your class and what types of parents there are.
Volunteer. But the other thing too in Sweden, we one day need to discuss, is the class kostnad.
Oh, no one wants to volunteer for that. That's the money that's collected.
That's collected.
And one parent has to be in charge of it.
Yeah.
And it's, I would not want to be
but
in
it's
charge
also,
of that.
But collecting the money.
Yeah,
I can
you
tell
have to
you,
chase down people who don't
which
pay
is really
their part.
Weird. You would be surprised what people don't pay, because I could name and shame some people right now, but I'm not going to. Mm-hmm. I'm keeping it real. I'm gonna be quiet. We were in charge of it a couple of times with my older daughter and like a couple of times now too. And I'm like, what? Excuse me? I'm like, these people, their apartment costs twice as much as ours. Or they're this person, A celebrity or B celebrity, and they don't pay the class costs.
And I mean, and the thing is, it's not much, and it's something that you decide on to put in a little bit to help towards.
Yeah, basically the kids, like if they want to go ice skating as a group, as a class, that then it pays for that.
Yeah.
Or if, you know, Christmas present for the teachers. So it's like if each student, each parent or each student in the class, it's asked like maybe 200 or 300 krona or something like that, which isn't like
$20 or $30.
You know, it's not a huge amount. And this is asked for each semester. So for,
it's not that much.
And so
much
if you have like 20 something kids and every, you know, 30 kids and you're getting 30, that's enough.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, and then usually like sometimes maybe the kids at the end of the year, if it's not all spent, then they have like a little pizza party or, you know, do whatever. But the fact that some parents don't pay it, it's just, but others do. And the thing is, in Sweden, you're not allowed to shame people. So you can't say so-and-so and so-and-so haven't paid.
It would be one thing if they couldn't afford it and that would be understandable and stuff. But like you said, with certain people, they can afford it.
They can afford it. I'm sorry. I have not met anybody that has gone to school with my children that could not possibly afford to pay, you know, 200 kroner.
Yeah.
For the class cost. I'm sorry. Unless you have 12 children in school and then, okay, maybe that's a lot.
Maybe that, yeah.
It adds up. But I'm just like, most of the people that didn't, they could definitely afford it. And my husband would be like, well, that's how they're rich. They keep their money.
Yeah, that must be it.
And I'm just like, yeah.
That's how they afford that fancy apartment.
No, but I like to say that one of the years, I just kind of secretly harassed them. I kept saying, I'm so sorry, I must have missed your payment because I haven't received, it doesn't show up in my account. And then another next month, I've been looking at the accounts and I still haven't seemed to allocate your payment.
A little passive aggressive,
And then nudge. My husband's like, you're insane. And I said, well, guess what? I got everybody to pay up.
That's right. It's for the children.
It's for the children. Yeah.
Okay. So you have a busy school year ahead of you.
Yes. Yeah. And I hope no one listens to that daughter's class.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So we've
No, I hope everyone listens. So beware.
Pay your klasskassan.
Yes.
So we'll have during the fall, we'll try to have a few interesting guests and maybe also talk a little bit more about Swedish fall traditions and things that we do in the winter and maybe more school stuff, work stuff, things like that.
Some culture. I think we're invited to a couple of little cultural things coming up, and we'll share some of that with you, I guess, as well.
Yeah. So that sounds good. Okay, so until next time.
Yeah. Go eat some crayfish with cold and dill.
Or drink some Big Red.